Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 01 of the Fun Times Gaming podcast. Fun Times Gaming Gamecast, I think I titled it. Today, we have a bunch of things going on because today is actually our first official release podcasting. And with me today, I have Random Jack. And I have Mocha, who was in our episode zero. Go ahead and say hi, Mocha.
Hello.
And we finally have Narmacil with us today. Narmacil.
Hi, everybody.
Unfortunately, Bardor is not here today. He had better plans. You know what he's doing, right there, Narmacil?
Yeah, he said something about a Beverly Hills zombie concert or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Maybe it's fortunate for us, and
yeah,
he will not be missed.
Definitely not. But since Narmacil is the new one here today, we will be letting him introduce himself. So go ahead, Narmacil. Let's get right into your introduction.
Sounds like a plan. Hi, guys. My name is Sean. Everybody calls me Narmacil. Has been my username since the dawn of time. Well, the dawn of time being what? Me playing Final Fantasy XI. Which everybody assumes is my first computer game. But a fun fact is, I actually started out on Diablo 2. Yeah, nobody knows that. I've been with the Fun Times Gaming community for about a year now, but I've been close friends to one of the members, Borador, who's not with us. We've been friends for years. And everything from there is just a whirlwind of video gaming fun, mostly being dragged from game to game, which I believe you guys talked about in the previous episode, didn't you?
Yes, definitely.
Bunch of game hopping and stuff like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like to settle down in one place for a little while, but that never seems to be the case. Sad face.
Okay, what kind of games and stuff do you play? What is your forte? Things like that.
Well, the biggest MMO that I started out with, as I said, was Final Fantasy. That's where Final Fantasy XI. That's where my username came from. That was really the only computer game I played for a while. After that, I didn't really have enough money to put into a gaming computer, so it was really all console based until recently I acquired a pretty powerful computer through a Build-A-Beast workshop. It was a very good build, and after that the console hasn't turned on since. Been mostly MMOs, a lot of free to plays because I still can't really be bothered for a subscription based MMO, so anything that's free to play I try for a while. I like those RPGs in general, so Borderlands is really good, especially that it's an RPG and a shooter. Borderlands 2, specifically. Any Final Fantasy with a number on it that I've played, I own. And let's see, the sandbox games like Minecraft, you know, they're good for killing time when you have nothing else to do or nothing better to hold your interest for a few hours. Not really big into racing games. But I do play them from time to time, but nobody knows that.
I sure as hell didn't.
Till now.
Now I'm going to kick your ass for all the time. You have been challenged.
That's mainly because I suck at them.
You have been challenged.
Oh, God.
So, anything else you want to add there?
That's pretty much everything in a nutshell. I'm just kind of the guy who gets dragged around from game to game. I pretty much enjoy everything that I do get dragged into, though. Some stuff I have stayed away from just because I'm not interested, like Star Trek Online. But, you know, not that there's anything wrong with it, it's just not my cup of tea. Elder Scrolls, on the other hand, that one's got my interest pretty good. I really do hope that I might get into the beta, hopefully.
That would be, like, everybody's... Probably.
Yeah, don't we all, right?
Yeah, don't we all. So I guess we're good with that one. We'll go, there's two things that we forgot to mention in the last podcast. They were actually both on my behalf that I forgot to do something. The first thing, I forgot to really explain why I have the Asshat Airhead reference. Why is that dubbed to me? Basic, simple, short explanation. And that is because all my characters start with a double A. As I mentioned earlier, way back when in EQ, their roles for Raid, as I was pointed out because I wasn't old enough to participate in raids at the time, were generated by alphabetical. So my father, who got me into MMOs, always had his main character a double A. It would actually be Alina, double A, L-I-N-A, which I stole from him in most games that I make alts in. And ever since then, I've always kept the AA. And most of my characters always, if not always, start with a AA. The other thing would be is how our guilds, how we actually run our guilds. Because as far as I've known, as far as I've been in any other guilds, we never actually really... I've never seen a guild run the way we actually run it. And it seems to have worked quite a bit. I've seen many guilds fail where ours prevailed because of the way we run it. One of the main things is because we are a community and we have many community leaders, we don't, even though there is a quote-unquote guild leader, it's more of a figurehead title than actually being a guild leader. We have a guild council, and it's primarily made out of five or so members of the community or group, mainly mostly me, Narmasil, Mocha, Borador, Shadow Raven, Diella, and whoever else is one of the leaders that we feel fit. And we run it actively together, so nobody has supreme power. Everybody has a say, and 90% of the things, okay, do we have to do this? What are we going to do about this? We talk about and vote on as a council. So it's a majority vote in the interest of the guild. So it's not one person saying, this is this. It's a full vote. Is there anything that... Yeah.
Yes, and some of the arguments that ensue are quite hilarious and borderline insanity.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Well, go ahead.
Sort of, kind of, yeah. Name Rift, that one is... one thing is, we are not merging.
No.
We're not going to merge with another guild. I spent too much time myself personally building that guild, and I'm not going to see it go away.
No.
This is
news
to me. Has this topic come up?
No, never, ever. I don't know where merging came from.
Well, it's actually, I've received quite a few emails on it, and it's like, nope.
Ah, okay. Thanks for letting me know. But yeah, we don't normally merge. I don't think so, unless they want to merge into us. But the only thing is, they're not going to wind up really getting anything more than an officer rank, if that.
To move on.
Yeah, that's mainly, and to bring Rift as an example so you guys can understand, Rift has a guild system which allows guild leveling up, and it has perks. So whenever we level up, we always ask, okay, which points are we going to spend that where? And it's always the guild leaders, the council, that decides... okay, let's put it in this one. I think this one. Let's weigh the cons, the negatives, the pros. And then we don't, it's not just us personally. We do ask the actual guild members themselves, but we don't do anything solo. It's just not solo.
Nope.
So that's all good. Anything else? Anybody want to explain anything else, how our guilds work?
No, just that Sean likes to poke things with the stick.
Big time. I'm going to make him a nice little fashion stick that he can point with and poke with. All right, so we'll move on to the next thing in our agenda here. What games have we been playing the past week? Mocha, you can start. Go ahead.
You're talking to the wrong person to really start this off, because I've been basically out of it for almost a month now, trying to get my personal system up and running. But since I've been back, it's mainly been Rift.
Mainly be Rift. Playing a little Minecraft here and there.
Nope. I just...
No?
Tell you the truth, I had to download Minecraft just a few minutes ago, because I totally forgot about it.
How could you forget about Minecraft?
Hey, when you got a HD that blows up and then memory decides to crap out on you, you forget a lot.
It is nice to see everybody hanging out on my server. It's been kind of quiet here for a while.
Yeah, that's what we mentioned yesterday, that one of the servers, we're actually all chilling around, I'm running around in a circle at the moment, doing nothing, because I'm focusing on this too much.
I'm building a house.
Okay, so do you have any plans for next week? What are you going to be playing in the next coming week?
I have been spending some time in
Rift. I'm not talking to you. You're not your turn.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize there was a turn order.
Actually, there's not, but go ahead, anyhow.
Because I didn't even get to what you're playing this week, what you played the past week.
Primarily Rift.
Okay, so you're going to be primarily playing Rift. All right, go ahead there, Sean, Mr. Running before.
With a stick.
Yeah, you're going to get poked with a stick. What
have
you been playing
with,
the past week? What have you been playing for the past week, and what do you plan on playing for the next week?
Aside from dabbling in Minecraft, I spent some time playing Final Fantasy VII, actually. Yeah, reliving some old memories there.
That's cool.
Got some time in Rift. Yeah, spending some time in the middle of the woods fishing in Rift.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
What about for the next week?
Next week coming up, probably going to try to spend a bit more time in Rift, get some, finally get my character maxed out. I've been stuck at 57 for an eternity, but that's mainly my own fault.
Yeah, you haven't been on in a while, so.
I'm sorry. Not sorry.
All right, so you're good. Anything else you want to add?
I'm looking for things to poke with a stick.
Okay. You had to ask.
Yeah, I had to ask. If I ask, I'm asking for it. I understand. So, yeah, for me, the past week, I've actually been playing the first half of the week. I was absent on vacation, and the second half of the week, I've been up and all over the place, thanks to the Steam sale, which we will be getting into later. I've been playing things like I played a little bit of Minecraft earlier. As I said, I'm trying to find a nice Minecraft server that the gaming community could be on. Hopefully, that I could be a moderator, something like that. I'm working with a few people, as I mentioned before, with that one. I haven't been on Rift at all, unfortunately. Played a little Don't Starve, Kinetic Void, Kerbal Space Program, Legend of Grimrock. Played quite a bit of BitTrip Runner 2. Couple minutes of Bastion. Let's see, Magicka. I picked up a whole collection of the Sonic games, every single Sonic game made for really dirt cheap. So I was playing a bunch of them earlier, and I think that's about it. Really,
I've been all over the place.
I played a little bit of Civ 5. Yeah, I was all over the place. So with that, in the next week. I just picked up, actually, right today, I picked up probably about a half hour ago, Reus, R-E-U-S, from the Steam sale. I'm going to check that one out after the podcast is done recording. I'm going to try and get back into Rift, probably play a little bit of Civ 5, and I'm hoping to get something else, but that's going to be in a later section, too. So I'll mention that one later. I guess we'll move on to the gaming news. Unfortunately, with gaming news, our very first news topic is quite sad. Ryan Davis of Giant Bomb has passed away on July 3rd of the age of 34. For those of you that know what Giant Bomb is, those of you who don't know what Giant Bomb is, Giant Bomb is a big video game review site. They do podcasts, they do videos, quick bits, and stuff like that. It's a very good gaming site. and Ryan Davis was one of the head guys that worked there. I don't know what he passed away from, and talking to a few of some of my other coworkers and stuff mentioned that he was actually just married too. Somebody said actually a few days before he passed away. So it's quite sad, and our condolences go out to him, his family, his friends, and the giant bomb cast crew and all members there.
That is quite a shame.
Yeah. Such a young age and such a great person. Now that the sad news is done and over with, we'll get back into normal news, starting with Saints Row the Fourth. Saints Row the Fourth is going to be the last of its kind, apparently. All future games can be in a totally different direction. What do you guys think of that? Have you? I don't think Jim Mocha has played any of the Saints Row games. Have you there, Narm?
No, but it's like Grand Theft Auto, isn't it?
Yeah, something like Grand Theft Auto. Oh, you did try it there?
I tried it, and I wasn't too. For me, it wasn't the game.
I actually played quite a bit of the third one. I'm not too interested in sandbox games, except for Sleeping Dogs. But I tried this one out because I got it. I think I got it during like the Humble Bundle THQ, so I got it for like dirt cheap, and I enjoyed it a lot. I might actually think about this one, but in the fourth one, you're going to be playing as a psychopathic president that has like superpowers, and you're trapped inside a virtual reality city. So to top that, I don't know. Maybe they do have to go into a totally different direction on their next game. Are any of you guys thinking about maybe picking up or keeping an eye on the fourth one at all?
I'll keep an eye on it.
I think Borador is definitely thinking about getting that. He actually really enjoyed the Saints Row games. He's the one who actually mentioned it to me, and not the third one. He mentioned way before. I think it was like 1 and 2 he mentioned to me when they came out. That's where I first heard him from. On to the next bit. There's a new speed record for Half-Life 2, and that was done in under an hour and a half at exactly 1 hour 27 minutes 51.09 seconds, which boggles my mind because I can't even to this day beat the game. Half-Life 2, you've never beat it? Yes, I've never beat Half-Life 2.
Yeah, I heard about that. The way they went about doing it was kind of interesting.
Really? You watched the video and stuff?
I did, and I also watched the description as to how the guy got away with it. It's pretty cool.
Explain it a bit.
Well, it turns out the way the Steam or Valve physics engine goes is every time you jump, you actually move a little bit faster than your run speed, right? But when your character hits the ground, you know, gravity takes over and friction, and you slow down. But for some reason, when you do that backwards, it works in reverse. So you jump, you move faster, and then you hit the ground and you jump again, it amplifies it almost exponentially. So, you know, you go jump, 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 and by the fourth jump, you're flying halfway across the map.
I have to take a look at this video because it seems really difficult to sit there and play the game backwards.
Yeah, he must have had a really good judgment as to where he was going.
Played it over and over again. Did you hear anything about that one there, Mocha, at all?
Sorry, nope.
No? Okay. The next one, very, very interesting. Borderlands 2 released their final season pass DLC, Tiny Tina's Bunkers and Badass. Badasses. Bunkers and Badasses. I personally played it. I went through the whole entire story of it from start to beginning. No side quest, though. Just the story itself. And I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a really good thing. Funny and everything like that. No spoilers going to be added. I do wish there was a little bit more to the story itself. But it was definitely really, really, really good.
So you still kind of enjoy Tiny Tina. She's just one heck of a card in the game.
Oh, by far.
I'm not exactly sure how far I've made it, but I'm enjoying the DLC so far.
I'm going to have to check it out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised you haven't. How many hours do you have on Borderlands and Borderlands 2?
Oh, God. You really want to go up there? Between the two, I have over 1,500 hours.
1,500 hours, ladies and gentlemen. This guy here is one serious tryhard. No, he just enjoys his game. The Bunkers and Badass was, as I said before, really awesome. I do suggest going and get it. It's probably the best one that I have played out of the ones that are out. And as Mocha has mentioned, Tiny Tina is the greatest. I believe Tiny Tina is one of the best out there. And that's not only by her, but because of the voice actor, Ashley Birch. I watched their shows, Hey Ash, What You're Playing. Hey Ash, What You Playing? All the time, and I just crack up.
I just like it because she's, what, 12-year-old that likes to blow things up?
12-year-old that blows things up, yep, give or take.
And back at that age, didn't we all want to blow things up? And don't we still do?
I did, and I still do.
I plead the fifth.
Along the lines of Borderlands 2 news, they also announced Gearbox or whoever. Yeah, Gearbox. Said that there are still more DLCs to come, and they are in development. So I'm definitely, So I'm definitely.
Well, if that's the case, I wonder if they're gonna stream out another season pass.
It would be nice, but I don't think they will be, to be honest.
One can always hope, though.
Oh, definitely. Always hoping. Always hoping. I like what they did with Craig the Psycho. I really like his YouTube video about why he became a Vault Hunter. That was definitely interesting and funny. And I'm definitely looking forward to see if they release another character. Definitely. And what other DLCs, storylines they can have.
It'll be interesting.
So speaking earlier about GTA, mentioning it, GTA 5 actually might have a PC release after all. There was a Rockstar job listing that quote-unquote stated, Rockstar leads are currently looking for a talented graphic programmer to help bring our latest titles to the PC platform. Working together with the other Rockstar studios, you will be responsible for maintaining studios the studios uncompromising quality bar, delivering the highest quality PC experience possible. Me and Narm were talking earlier. You mentioned something about this, that other GTAs, about other GTAs and stuff.
Oh yes, about them inevitably making their way to the PC world.
Yes. And I was like, oh well, hopefully they put Red Dead Redemption. I actually had it in the notes here, and you're like, the book Red Dead Redemption is PC already. And we took a look, and it wasn't.
Sadly, I was mistaken.
So hopefully, on top of GTA 5 coming, maybe we'll see a Red Dead Redemption come to PC too. That would be nice.
I would be interested in that. I was interested when it came out on console. It just, money was tight at the time.
Our next news, I don't think any of you have heard of this one. I personally played it. Spelunky is being released on PC August 8th, and that's a game I definitely will be picking up.
What?
Spelunky. None of you have heard that one?
Sounds like Minecraft.
Actually, no. Not even close. Spelunky, how do I put it? Your 2D side-scrolling, underground, kind of minor, but without really digging things, there's bats and enemies and things like that. And as you go through, you have to get items and level up. Level ups your different. You get gold and diamonds and you sell them off and you make money and stuff like that. Death is permadeath. The multiplayer is hilarious because you're sitting there and you shoot a rope up into the thing and you're climbing your rope and your buddy's sitting there fighting an enemy and all of a sudden his whip comes out and smacks you and you fall down. I sat there and played with one of my other friends on the Xbox demo, and we just could not stop laughing. It was ridiculous. One of the parts, you had to actually like save this princess and bring her to the exit. Every single time we tried to save the princess, we wound up killing her.
Some hero you are.
Yeah, definitely. The next one would be Steam/Valve stops the Dota 2 beta invites because they actually launched it. Dota 2 is a MOBA with tons and tons of characters to play as. I have been in the beta. I never launched it once. And I don't think I ever will play it, even though it is free to play with many microtransactions. Sega sues non-existent THQ for almost $1 million because of Steam pre-orders for Company of Heroes. This kind of makes me a little questiony. I don't know how they're getting this money. Is Company of Heroes actually out? Does anybody know that?
Don't know, but there's an easy way to find out.
I'm looking it up right now. Oh, okay, yes it is. Company of Heroes 2, looks like. So basically, I guess the game came out and stuff like that, and Sega never got their money. So they're actually looking for an exact total of $941,710.93.
From Steam.
No, from THQ. Steam paid. Ah. From what I'm getting and from, I guess, the very little stimmit that I read, Steam already paid THQ and THQ has to reimburse Sega, but they never reimburse Sega. And that's what Sega wants, their reimbursement for that. Along that lines, they are suing a non-existent company, which I don't know legal terms and how that works, but if it's due money, I say it should definitely go.
I say if Sega wants some money, they should make another console.
I say if Sega wants some money, especially for me, they need Phantasy Star Online 2 to come out in the East Side already. Over here in the U.S. That one. I would be sinking. I had so much fun in that, but I digress. The next topic is a very heated topic. We actually had a nice like half-hour conversation before we even started recording this.
Oh boy, here it comes again.
Yep.
Wah.
Xbox. There was a petition for the Xbox One to reinstate all the E3 promises, things like the DRM policy, and I don't know if it went into the always online. I know the big thing was the DRM policy. The last time I actually checked, it had 16,000 signatures, and I'm pretty much sure that it way higher now.
Wait. For people that want the DRM?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why?
Oh, the biggest thing that I heard, or I actually went to it's that site that if you post something or something like that, I don't know if it's this actual site that the government has to look at or something. No, it's not that site. It's a different site, but it was a position site. And it said that it basically, the Xbox One, the way it was, because everybody was just so gripey about it, they didn't look into it. And the Xbox One was going to become the Steam of the consoles, that you're going to be able to trade games and stuff like that. And everything, just like how Steam works. Just it, to my knowledge, it was going to actually be a lot more fluid, because if I play a game on the Xbox One, let's say I have Halo 5 and you want to play it, and you have Call of Duty Black Ops 20 million, we can trade each other and we can play it. And then you could trade that for some other game and so forth and so on. That's how I kind of read it as. Does anybody else have any comments on that?
I'm not so sure, because you can't trade games on Steam.
You can trade non-played games. When you purchase something, you have the option of tossing it in your inventory. If you leave it in your inventory, you can trade it. I'm just saying it's going to be, it was supposed to be quote unquote better than Steam.
Well, they better decide something soon, seeing that it's supposed to be out in November of this year.
Yeah. Along that, I actually didn't write this down. A lot of the companies already stopped pre-selling the Xbox One along with the PS4. I know for a fact the Toys R Us around us has stopped both until recently we have the PS4s available again. But the way it looks like, they're going to cut them off quite fast. So, the next topic we have is another Steam game. Orcs Must Die 2 is getting the Steam Workshop.
Wait a minute. I just found something about your DRM.
Oh, yeah, you did?
Yeah. According to TechRadar, which is one of the tech sites, they are reporting that Xbox is, made its mandate to once per 24-hour online check-in, and the game used game DRM policy, which would have placed restrictions on the used game market, is what they're saying. But it's they're going through a backlash from it right now, so it's still kind of up in the air.
Maybe this is a good time for somebody to explain it. What exactly does the 24-hour online check do? You mean to tell me if I don't play my Xbox for 2 days, it locks me out?
Pretty much. Let's put it this way. Say we have Hurricane Sandy hit us again there in Armisil, since we live close together on the East Coast here. And we obviously got our electricity back before we got our internets back. If we decide to turn our Xbox on after that, when we got our electricity back, we would not be able to play the Xbox at all. Yep, that's how it works.
That's lame.
Yeah,
isn't that how Steam functions? I mean, for certain games?
No. For Steam to, you need Steam's password saved on your computer. Once you log in once and save this password on your computer, if you go offline, you can access all your games that do not require an online connection.
Well, somebody needs to take a hint from Steam, or maybe Steam should just make their own console. Wait, did I just? Oh,
I see what you did there. Okay. Did you have anything else there, Mocha?
No, that was the one thing that you were asking about. Seems like it's still up in the air as far as the used games and DRM go.
Yeah, they definitely have to get their act going. We'll hopefully in a couple months we'll have something solid.
Well, hopefully within the next month or two, because they're releasing this thing come November.
Oh yeah. So yeah, back to Orcs Must Die 2. It does have the Steam Workshop now, and as far as I know, I really enjoy some of the stuff that Steam the Workshop brings. Personally, things like from my stance with the Elder Scrolls game before Steam Workshop had tons and tons of mods that were readily available for, like, Morrowind and Oblivion.
Torchlight 2.
Yeah, Torchlight. Well, now Torchlight 2, being that it's on Steam Workshop, and I believe even before that had mods, but now that it's actually available right there, I can't wait to see. I don't personally have Orcs Must Die 2. I have played it, the first one, with at my friend's house, and I did enjoy it, and now that it has the Steam Workshop, it might pique my interest a little bit more now.
Now you can customize it to the way you like it. Ha ha ha.
Exactly. Steam Workshop is very, very useful. It breathes new life into old games.
Big time.
Even games that aren't even really that old.
Yep. I know.
Look at, not Castle Crashers, what's the other one we were playing? Dungeon Defenders, for example. Great game by itself. When they added the workshop to it, even better game.
Now, like a 60-hour game, if that has now infinite possibilities. So, yeah. The next thing, if anybody helped, we're good on that one?
Oh, yeah, we're good. Move on.
Okay.
Before I have Sean poke you with the stick.
Okay. I'll get right on this. No stick. Keep the stick away. Scrolls, Mojang, however you want to pronounce their name. They're getting their new game, Scrolls, update merges, it allows you to merge cards. It's basically kind of like a new crafting system. So you have the same X card, you know, you have card one and you have another copy of card one. You'll be able to merge them together. As far as I read, it doesn't really increase anything. It has a specific purpose. I don't know what that specific purpose is. I have not picked up the game yet because I was having having a bit of a trouble trying to migrate my Minecraft to the Mojang account. I finally got it working, and I actually might pick it up like tomorrow or something. It's $20.95, I believe, at this point in time.
So in other words, we're not going to see you for another week, right?
I don't know how active it is right now. So, it might be something that sits until more stuff comes out, because that's how Mojang works.
Are they going to do something similar like what they did with Minecraft, where you buy the game now at set price and it's takes off forever? You know how, like, when Minecraft Alpha was at, it was like $5?
Yes, that's exactly how they are, but obviously they learned from their past, and they pushed it up to a $20, $21 setup instead of just $5.
Well, let's hope it can stand up to their company's namesake. I'll check it out.
Yep. And the next thing, Second Life, the real-life MMO, quote-unquote, loosely termed real-life MMO Second Life, their dev, Linden Labs, buys the indie platforming company Dezora. And Mocha, you said something, mentioning something about having Dezora?
No, that wasn't me. I think you were thinking of Bordor.
As far as I know, Dezora is just basically a Steam that's for indie games. It's an indie game Steam. There was one game that I was looking at. It was like a Minecraft clone. I totally forgot what it was. It's like a questy version of Minecraft where it actually has quests and stuff in it. I swear, I wish I had the name of it.
Oh man, Delilah would be able to tell us because she's been playing that one. She ain't here right now.
Would it be Roblox?
Something Cube.
No, I don't think it's that one either.
You sure?
Yeah, that's a different one, I think. My brother was playing one, and Bordor was actually playing one, too. I'll figure it out. It'll come up to me even in the next episode or something. But yeah, that's what Dezora is, and that's what they're going at there. There are no more major updates to the game Tribes Ascend for at least the next 6 months. They decided that they're going to work on a Smite and stuff, from a official quote made by Todd Harris from Hi-Rez. It states, for the next 6 months, our primary development focus is Smite. Beyond that is GA2, and beyond that is TA2, would be more likely than any major updates for TA. But to be clear, no devs are currently working towards TA2. So, I haven't played I did. I played one or two games of Tribes Ascend with one of my buddies.
Oh, man. I got the older version, Tribes.
Hey, you got Tribes, the original?
Yep.
So, yeah, Tribes Ascend is not getting any more updates for the next 6 months. And now, this next thing, it is an up-and-down debate, man. It's really weird. I couldn't really wrap my head around it when I first seen it, but there's a League of Legends player who was arrested for making a terroristic threat. Have any of you heard about this one?
I'm listening.
Well, basically, he stated that, quoted, actually, "I'm effed up in the head, right? All right. I think I'm a shoot a kindergarten and watch the blood of the innocent rain down and eat the beating hearts of one of them."
Wow.
Now, this was MSNBC, first of all, reported this. And a lot of the times in the eyes of the news and the main community, like the normal people, non-gamers and stuff like that, a sentence like this could be taken completely out of context than what us gamers would say. Now, I could say, like, Narmershil, you're a super noob, you suck, I'm gonna pawn you, I'm gonna shoot you in the face, watch your heart bleed out and eat your heart, and, you know, it'll be perfectly fine between us because we know, one, we're joking around, two, it's gamer chat, and who knows, I could be raging at something stupid for, you know, whatever reason. But if my mom comes upstairs and hears me saying that, she'd smack me across the face.
And with good reason, you disrespectful bastard.
So, yeah, there's that, and he actually may be facing there's that side of it, and then there's the other side. What if he was actually saying the truth? Not necessarily that he will act on it, but he would actually wind up, you know, he was actually saying something like this, then it would technically be a terroristic threat. So, and it really sucks because this one kid, this one person who is now in it, just made gamers look terrible all over again. Because
this is true.
Yeah, it's one person reflects the whole community, and it really, really does suck. He has made bail. And I actually heard that, I don't know really where he got bail from, but I heard somebody mentioning that there was a Kickstarter program get up for him.
That's a bit much.
Yeah.
Look, I think for all intents and purposes, the kid probably learned his lesson and now he'll just keep his mouth shut. But really, like, that's, comments like that are taking it too far. The reaction in this day and age, honestly, I can say is probably justified, because like you just said, what if the kid was telling the truth? What if he really was, like, freaking mental and he decided to do something crazy? And then, again, it makes all of us look bad.
And that's a big debate in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll let that, unfortunately, fall upon those who are allowed to make those decisions. MMO news. These next segments are going to be all about the MMOs and stuff. So the first one doesn't really apply to us over here in the States, but Monster Hunter Online went closed beta June 28th. If that actually came out over here, that's another game I would actually be picking up. I really enjoyed the Monster Hunter series. Have any of you played any of the Monster Hunters?
I have not.
Nope.
Monster Hunter is actually, take any MMO and put it single player with giant monsters that it's basically, you go to a hub, they tell you kill X monster, you go out into the land, you kill X monster in a time limit, you come back, you get your reward. That's basically how, in a nutshell, how Monster Hunter works. I don't know how they're going to do their online with that, but Monster Hunter is known for giant, big, scary, huge monsters. And big, giant, scary, huge, like, Sephiroth-sized swords and blades and stuff. So,
okay.
And that's also using the CryEngine 3, so that would probably make most computers cry.
Except for mine.
And mine.
Not so sure about mine.
The Firefall MMO, it's a RPG shooter, open beta launched recently. I know, unfortunately, Bardor would be able to tell us a lot about that one, but he's not present. He's been playing the closed beta for quite a while. Does anybody have any interest in that one at all? Know anything about that one?
I do not, although I get emails every weekend from them.
Somebody subscribed or tried getting the closed beta. I think Bordor got us both into that at one point.
Yeah,
I
you
think it
would
was
have
just a
left the
free weekend.
charge.
Something like that. Elder Scrolls Online expands its closed beta. We're all
Ooh.
pretty much itching to get into that one. But I can tell you personally, my email box is quite empty from a specific Bethesda Studios.
It's not so much of a niche, more of a burn.
It burns so nicely. Secret World adds things like exploding bridges, snowmobile chases, and flamethrower weapons.
Flamethrowers.
Flamethrowers, yes. Because I want to hold my flamethrower on the snowmobile
While
while
blowing up
crossing
the
it.
bridge.
Yes, while going over an exploding bridge.
Look, haven't we had enough of the terroristic comments? I don't need to hear about you blowing up bridges.
With my flamethrower on a snowmobile.
Wouldn't you melt the snow?
Yeah, so nobody can drive behind me. Oh.
That wouldn't stop a snowmobile.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually looking. I might actually toss Secret Worlds a nice go at. Me and Narm have played together. I know Borador owns it. Mocha, do you have that one or no?
Secret World, of course.
That one was an interesting one. Held us steady for a couple weeks.
About that.
Well, me and Narm, what was it? Probably about 2 weeks, 3 weeks at most.
Yeah.
It was quite enjoyable, but got a little bit repetitive. It didn't have like an actual level, so it was getting a little weird
And we
for me.
also had other things on our minds, such as Rift, I believe.
Yeah. One of the games that we actually play most often, Defiance, one of the big ones that we played for a while, has a free-to-play status for the first 72 hours. So if you guys were kind of looking forward to trying out Defiance, feeling what it's all about, definitely give it a go. You get free 3 days, so take a look at it. We played it for a while. We hit endgame quite fast. That was our biggest gripe with it. That it ha
Well, according to what they're coming out with and whatnot all, they're supposed to be releasing new missions. And so far I've seen two brand new side story missions.
I think one of the main reasons that we hit endgame so fast was that we were always rolling together as a crowd. So, I think on
Doesn't
a
matter.
solo player level, like it might sustain you for a bit longer, but being
Nope.
that, there was always four of us together, we were just, raffle stomping stuff.
No, even at solo player, because I had that one, my other two was I soloed on, and I still burnt through it fast.
Well, you make your own decisions on that one. You've heard ours. As I said, free for the first 72 hours. If anything, I gotta say, out of the normal MMO, the PvP is actually, let me clarify that. The Shadow Wars are actually quite a thing to behold. They're really, really, really cool.
Agreed.
The PvP, on the other hand, the regular like 5v5s or 6v6s are a little bit of. I hope they fixed that a bit, but it was just like auto shotties all the way. If you don't have an auto shotty, you're dead. So, definitely, if there's one thing you do check out a Shadow War. I think they go up to like 64 versus 64 in the actual world itself. So as you're doing this PvP match, there are other non-PvP tag people and hostile mobs around. So it's a really cool concept and quite awesome.
It's funny when you run past like a non-participant player who's just, doing their own thing, and they're like, "Hey guys, what's going on?"
Yep. Now, the big thing that's going on, the Steam sale and the Steam trading cards. as far as the Steam trading cards, I actually know the most about them, so I'll explain what's going on with these Steam trading cards right now. Basically, what happens is Steam changed their whole profile system. Now, if you go and check into your profile in your Steam account, you'll have a nice little level posted there. Currently, I'm level 12. I am the highest of all my friends. The closest one is Borador, who is level 9. And basically what that does is any badges that you have earned or any badges, and these are the actual Steam badges, that any badges that you have earned are now worth experience points. So something along the lines of my 6-year tenure with Steam has netted me a good 300 experience points, which basically boosts to your level. Now, what the level does... Yeah, yes. So
slight backtrack here and completely off the current topic. You mentioned earlier about the Steam sale. I picked up the Tomb Raider complete pack.
We're going to go into that in a second.
Well, you remembered you talking about Sonic, so that's what reminded me.
Yeah, we're going to go into that in a second.
Funny. I don't do nothing with the trading cards, and I'm already a level 3.
So you have your trading cards, and that allows basically your level goes up. Once you hit level 10 and 20 and 20 and 30 and so forth, every 10 levels, you have a higher percentage of getting a trading card drop. What are trading card drops? Okay. Basically, there are a list of games, and now because of the Steam sale, there are a ton more games. What happens is, let's say Borderlands 2, for instance, because I know Borderlands 2 has the card system enabled. I don't know how many cards, to be honest, exactly. Actually, I could probably look it up. No, I actually cannot. You know what? I'll use a different thing. We'll use the Half-Life 2. Half-Life 2 has 8 cards total. So you go in, you play Half-Life 2. Now you sit there and you just play. That's all you have to do. You just play the game. Every random so often, you'll get an inventory pop up. Oh, you have a new inventory item. You basically earned a card. Out of those 8 cards that Half-Life 2 has, you can only, and this goes with everything, out of whatever amount of cards you have, the max amount, you can only gain half of them by playing the game, because it is a trading card system. So you have to either trade for them, or you can actually buy them off the market. So those are the other two options of completing your collection. Mm-hmm. Now when you complete the collection, you go into your badges, and a nice craft badge will come up. So you craft the badge. Now you have a badge. It's worth 100 XP. So now you have another 100 XP, and you get some nice little cool things. You could get like a background for your profile, a couple little, you know, awesome looking emocons that you can spam your friends with. And before the Steam sale, they were giving out like 50% coupons off of certain games. Now during the Steam sale, they have actually a special, like previous sales, you had to do certain things like join the community, post in the community, buy a game, vote so many times, and then you would automatically get the badge. Now you actually have to earn trading cards by either purchasing, I think you get like a trading card for every $10 you spend, you get a trading card for every 3 votes you make on the community vote sale, and you also, instead of now because everything's on sale, instead of getting like a 50% coupon, you get these special Steam badge, summer getaway badge cards. So those are the ways that you can earn the 10 cards that you need for that badge. After you actually craft a badge, certain badges, let me see, I know I have 1 or 2 that I have done, completed, and they came back up again. I don't know which ones they are. I forgot. But after you craft the badge, if you recollect the whole collection, you actually get like a higher tier of that badge, which is kind of cool. I think Civ, I know one of them has it. It was like obvious. It was quite obvious that you can, just the way that it was named. Oh, okay. BitTrip Runner has it. If you, your first tier would be hyper, the next one would be like super, and then it'd go like ultra and epic and extra or something like that. So yeah, you can actually level up the badges you have and they go up on 100 XP. I believe what it is every, from like 1 to 10, every 100 XP you get a level. From 10 to 20, it's every 200 and so forth as you go up. The only thing that the level does besides is give you a higher chance of dropping. And I believe every 10 levels you get like this special widget that you can add to your profile. Because I'm level 10, I have like this achievement showcase on my profile that allows me to you can choose from a bunch of different things, but achievement showcase allows you, it's like your most, via the community, it's the most rare achievements that you've earned. So like in Sanctum, only 1% of players have a future friend achievement, and that one's the number one on my thing. So that's what's shown on my page.
Well, that's interesting. It seems like another way to breathe life into some old-ish games. Gives me definitely a reason to revisit some of my favorite games to unlock some trading cards and XP and stuff.
Now, I know, Mocha, you weren't too into it, I don't think. I know my father, who has Steam, isn't really into it at all. You don't have to participate in it at all. You really don't. If you get a card, you could just let it sit in your inventory or give it away. It really isn't a big deal. Also, remember, I gave out my Steam, FTT Random Jack. It's R4NDOMJ4CK. If you have any badges that you don't want, I'll take them. If you do friend me also and you really want something that I'm not using, go ahead, toss me out a nice little, hey, do you want this one? I'll trade you for this one, you know. I'm active in the trading cards. I have a few completed ones. So I enjoy it. I have sold a few on the market too, which the market actually, basically what happens is you sell it for an X amount, and I believe Steam, Valve gets, they add an extra 10% to the amount that you send it to. Set it to, so Steam Valve gets 10% and they add another 20% for the game itself, the makers of the game. So, you know, Steam and the game makers are making a little bit of profit. Is Steam so much? Eh. The game makers, hey, if it's Borderlands 2, Borderlands 2 is making some money, hey, they make a great game, I'll give them whatever money they want, so I'll support them, and then even if it's like selling a card, I'll support them as much as I can, even though I completed mine and I don't have any Borderlands cards left. But yeah, that's it for that's basically the cards in a nutshell.
Well, get back to work, you need to get some more.
I know. I finished, I think I finished Meat Boy, I finished Binding of Isaac, and I finished Borderlands 2. I'm really working on the summer sale. I only need this Chivalry 1, which I'm hoping to get shortly. It'd be nice. But on to the actual Steam sale itself. Now, Narmasil, you can go and tell us what you have already bought.
I'm sorry, I spoke too soon. Yeah, picked up the Tomb Raider Complete Pack. All the Tomb Raider games to date, including the new one, for $17 and change.
Very nice. Did you get anything else?
Not so much, not yet. Nothing has really caught my attention. I considered getting Scribblenauts. Not real. I'm still on the fence with that one.
Okay. Is there anything that you actually want to go on sale? Like if it's already on sale and it's low, do you want it, if it goes higher, would you pick it up? Or if it's not on sale and it does, would you pick it up? What are you looking for to go really, like what do you want to become quote unquote a gem?
Well, that's actually a tough question. I'm actually kind of satisfied with what I'm playing now, so I think that's probably one of the reasons why nothing's really caught my attention. But if I find something, I'll let you know.
All right. Mocha, do you have anything that you bought or want to go on sale?
No, not as of right now. But I'm always keeping an eye open.
All right. Well, unlike these two, my wallet is, like, really hurting. Really, really hurting.
Mine hurts worse than yours.
Oh, man. I've picked up quite a bit of games. I picked up Rius recent, actually, like, as I said, 30 minutes before this. Legends of Grimrock, Kinetic Void, Kerbal Space Program, Don't Starve, the BitTrip 2, Bastion, the Sonic Collection, I believe. I don't know. I don't remember if that was part of it or not, or I got that from an external site. Yeah, there was a bunch that I actually already categorized that I can't even remember that I picked up. But I picked up... I actually picked up a software program that was on sale, too.
Which one?
I picked up Display Fusion for the dual monitoring, because I actively dual monitor now, and ever since I got this... I don't think I turned dual monitoring off once. It's amazing. It allows you to...
Which one, though?
It's called Display Fusion. Basically,
oh, yeah, I think I recall that one.
Yeah. It allows you... I think it's like $30, normal price, and I picked it up for like 10. And it allows you to do a lot of customization according to your... dual screening needs. One of the very, very, very most interesting things is it actually puts a second toolbar, start bar, the whole entire bar on the bottom of your second screen. So if I want, you know, say if I'm playing a game or I have something opened in my left screen and I wanted some, you know, to hit the start menu, normally I would have to go to the left screen and interrupt what I was doing. No, now I can actually hit the start menu and pin things to the right side, too. It also puts a nice little doohickey little button on almost every single window next to, like, the minimize button that if you click it, it'll automatically shoot it to the other side, the other screen. So if I open up, like, Google Chrome, but I want it on the other screen, I just hit this button. I don't have to drag it. It has a bunch of different things. Like, I could put custom wallpaper, one wallpaper on one side, one wallpaper on the other side. I could put one screensaver on one side, one screensaver on the other side. There's just a ton of configurability with it.
It just allows more, be able to do more functions with what you have.
Yeah, yep. And I'm very, very much into that one. So...
And you picked it up for $9.29. It's marked down from $29.99.
Yep. So that was probably one of my favorites because I use it. I'm gonna use it for everything. I'm actually using it right now because of all the stuff that's open in every screen possible. And what am I looking for going on sale? It is on sale right now. I'm kind of hoping and waiting that it goes a little bit cheaper, but if it doesn't, I will be picking it up by the end. But Dungeonlands is something that I had my eye on for a while, and the 4-pack right now is only $15. Basically, Dungeonlands is it's more along the lines of a 3-person Diablo with an optional fourth, and I'll explain that in just a second, but it's like a Diablo-esque game. And you sit there and you go around and you do the campaign and stuff like that. But the big thing with this is the fourth player, whoever decides to be, is actually like the dungeon master. So you're kind of playing like a live D&D sort of without the actual narration and stuff. So the dungeon master can sit there and tries to kill off the three heroes. And he has cards, he can summon monsters and laugh maniacally, and hit the button and just keep laughing and laughing and laughing. So basically the players are trying to beat the Dungeon Master, and the Dungeon Master is trying to beat the player. So it's kind of, I thought it was kind of cool. And if I pick up the four pack and toss it out to, you know, probably the four of us that you met so far, it's going to be me, Narm, Mocha, and Borador. Well, maybe you'll see the three of us sit there and play Dungeon Lands on our Twitch stream, which I guess me and Sean will have to toss out later today. So, yeah, we'll have that definitely up there if and definitely when I pick it up. That's the one thing.
That reminds me of something. It brings up a topic to toss out. You know, what kind of gaming nerds wouldn't we be if we didn't actually have an active D&D campaign going on in the background?
Yeah.
Well, we still have to finish that one that's still in D20.
Yeah, we still have the me and Narm are actually in a live D&D campaign that we're playing, and we also have a community D&D campaign that's going on at the moment that we haven't played for probably about a month now.
Just like Dungeon Land, Mocha, the Dungeon Master, is actively trying to kill us.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm holding back on you guys, so...
He's trying to kill you.
Nothing can kill me, I'm convinced.
Why?
Except for maybe a bad roll.
Yeah.
Which you seem to have plenty of.
Shh. So that's it for the Steam sales. Now it's pretty much just I'm gonna breeze through this this one section. There's not really much. I know it's actually all console game based. This is the upcoming video game releases. I have not found anything PC related that is coming out, but for all systems, PS3, Wii, Wii U, Xbox, DS, and DS, 3DS, the Turbo Super Stunt Squad is coming out on the 16th. Actually, I'll tell you right now, every game that I mentioned now is coming out on the 16th. So, Turbo is coming out. It's Turbo the movie, the movie game. Mamoruken Curse for the PS3. I have no idea what that is about. Dynasty Warrior 8 for the PS3 and the Xbox is coming out. Time and Eternity is coming out for the PS3. And the Serious Sam Collection is coming out for the Xbox. I know for a fact that I probably missed some. I probably definitely missed some. I tried looking everywhere possible for that. So hopefully that's as accurate as possible. Now, along the lines of the podcast, for Narm and Mocha, they think we're done, but we're not. I actually have a super secret segment that I'm adding into here that is not on their version of the podcast notes. Basically,
where
what
we get to hit you with a stick?
No, we're all going to gang up on Borador. Yeah. Basically, the super secret segment... I think I'm going to do this every episode. It's going to be something that I feel like we should talk about. So basically what this one's about is I read an article on MMORPG.com, and it was by Mark Kern, who is a game maker who turned a 2-bit writer. Mark Kern currently works on the Firefall MMO shooter. In between, he runs Red. In between running Red 5 Studios and funding groups like League4Gamers.org, he covers topics on online games, game theory, and industrial trends. Now, I read his article, which was actually quite interesting. I actually read it all the way through, not just for the podcast itself, but I actually read it through because I read it through. It was really good. He basically, the title of it was MMO Development Needs to Change. And basically it went, first of all, let me go into this. Okay, by MMO development needs to change. How do you feel about that, Narm? Do you think it's MMO? True? The development, the actual making of the MMOs.
I don't know specifically what goes into the making of an MMO. What I can tell you from playing more up-to-date MMOs, I actually like the way that the games are built is heading, but I don't know what exactly that implies with building said MMO.
Okay. Mocha, do you have any insight or anything that you want to say about that?
Not at this very second.
Okay. And so basically what he does is he looks into the way that MMOs are offered, how they're developed and things, mostly on the developing scale. So he goes into by saying that MMOs taking 5 years or more to make, costing up to $200 million or more to create, things like Star Wars, The Old Republic, they become very risky. And to sit there and say, hey, would you like to do, you know, Activision or, I don't know of any game, or Blizzard goes to Activision, hey, we're looking to make Project Titan. There you go. They're looking to make Project Titan. We need X amount of funding. Okay, so that's how it starts off as. Now, he goes into by saying that it didn't used to be that way. Things, because of the next gen graphics and stuff like that, games, a single company could make multiple MMOs really quickly instead of just focusing on one. Sony, he said, you know, they made EverQuest, Panasite, and Star Wars Galaxy like right one after another, all while working on EverQuest 2.
And Star Wars Galaxies is one of those games that was actually really good.
But at the same time, they're also figuring out what type of gameplay works and what type doesn't.
Exactly. So now he goes on by saying development costs are being the biggest thing, and because of the next gen graphics are the real big reason. One being one example, he's saying WoW. In WoW, they used to be able to make a monster in a week. One monster, 1 week. Now it takes one monster 4 to 6 weeks to make. And I was just like, I'm sitting here and reading this, and I was like, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. I didn't realize it takes over a month to make one monster.
Oh, yeah. You got to look at the technology nowadays. It's high gen. So with high gen, you're looking at creating models. A lot of this technology is actually being imported through machining companies use a lot of 3D technologies, and they're very specific, and it takes them 2-3 weeks just to design one little part. And I can see a monster taking so damn long.
That's the typical monster. They're saying it's even longer with, like, boss monsters and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you're talking about pixel shading, coding, colors, striving tech, or the way they walk, the movement, how they're shadowed, and everything else. There's just so much that's detailed in there that a person doesn't realize.
Not only just for the graphics end, but, you know, how the mob itself responds in the game.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's going to take longer.
So he goes into by saying that now because of this and with the budget and the complexity and the riskiness, that they have to balance all this with their, you know, their backers and whoever's paying the money to do all this and stuff, that because of all this, their closed betas, the ones that actually, like, are behind the scenes, that us, the community, the gaming community in general, doesn't see or anything, is shortened a lot. And that's why we're seeing a lot of MMOs, Defiance for one of them, they had their problems, and other games that had their problems. We're seeing that a lot more now because of this.
It's not only that, the menu, the people that are backing in that are putting pressure on the companies to get these things out so that they can get a return on them. Instead of waiting until the whole game is properly done, properly fixed, properly running, the backers and supporters want the game out now. They don't care, in my eyes, they don't care about the general public. They just want to see a return on their investment.
Now I've got a general grasp on this concept. Okay, so I understand now. It's basically where all of the open betas are coming from, specifically open betas. Oh, yeah, Neverwinter is a good example. You can buy the game for $60 to get early access into the open beta. Sure, you get a couple extra perks to start playing the game now, but you've essentially just paid full game price into a beta game, at which point now a lot of people are on the gamers' side are starting to blur the line between what's a beta and, you know, what's a soft launch.
Thank you. That actually will – that'll be – actually brought up later in this this article, but he, not to cut you short or anything like that, he actually goes into stating that one of the biggest things that they're having problems with is a lot of the MMOs are starting to become mirror images of themselves, that they're pulling things from one, pulling things from another. There's no new things, and that's because of all the
new storylines. They're just redressing and rehashing old storylines.
And this also becomes a topic of discussion literally in every MMO in general chat or world chat or whatever chat that you happen to be in. You know, it's the same line over and over again, no matter what MMO you're playing. Quote, certain game was the first MMO, or this was the first shooter, you know, who cares?
He states that you can't do anything risky. You can't make try to innovate, because these big name companies don't want it, because they don't know if it's going to work.
Don't know, because Tryon tried to do something totally different. It's still on the fence line.
But you got to realize, Tryon had a lot. Like, Tryon's sponsors list is ridiculously long. It's probably the longest sponsor list for an MMO that I've ever seen. You've got Sci-Fi, you've got Axe, you've got Dodge. They're just all up in there. So they had...
They all got together and they came out with a new gaming concept that they're trying, and seeing how the general gaming public likes it or not. But unfortunately, they need a lot more spit and polish on their game.
Yeah. Well, just to put it in retrospect, he actually puts out that a closed beta is only about 3 months long for the actual development closed beta, which I was actually quite surprised that it's only 3 months for a closed beta of testing properties before any type of public closed beta or anything is released. Going in more into the article, he basically wraps up a little bit afterwards, things like these prototypes and rapid iteration and fast patching would be essential. We've seen a lot of them. Guild Wars 2 is actually the best feature for this one, that a lot of the times their patches, you don't even have to restart your client for. They just right in there. You like, they don't take down the servers. They
soft start servers.
Yeah, you just have to close your thing and launch it whenever you're ready. You don't even have to, I don't think you even have to, after a patches, you don't have to if you don't want to. It won't work right, but yeah. Guild Wars 2 is definitely going that one. They're saying that crowdsourcing needs to be a big thing that might be happening, that you're going to see a lot of MMOs being developed by multi-companies. This aspect is going to be by this company, that aspect is going to be by that company.
But, yeah, well, you do that, you spread out the risk more, so it's not one company that's taking a huge hit if it fails.
Yep, and I'm going to actually read the last two paragraphs here. It says, the real downside to this process is the way we've been trained about betas being nearly finished products. Many of us will see this type of process as a frustrating or prematurely judged. Actually, I have to digress a bit from this for a second. He actually says that instead of having these closed betas the way they are now, like the typical closed and open betas that we're used to, like Narm pointed out for the Neverwinter, they're going to crowdsource out to us gamers to get closed betas. The actual, like, the dev copy closed betas and stuff like that. So this is where this paragraph actually ties into. So instead of being nearly finished products, many will see this type of process as frustrating or prematurely judge the product on these early prototypes and rapid changes. If we want to see more MMOs take risks and succeed, we have to put aside these preconceptions and give developers the room to grow and make mistakes. Many non-developers don't see how many changes a product goes through before it is exposed to the world. And it would take some time and education and mutual understanding. But if we could do all this and work together, we can have it develop. We can develop better products at less risk, foster new ideas and behold innovations, and also give gamers a real voice in game development. And then he asks, isn't that what we all want?
Well, he's got a point there. That's what we all want. But there again, it comes back to a lot of judgments that are made on these games are from personal experiences. If you want to change the gamer's the way a gamer looks at something, you're going to have to come up with something new and start listening more to the gamers and seriously start looking at what they're talking about.
Well, what I feel is, let's say, you, me, and Narm decide to make an MMO. We're making a completely a new MMO where magic comes out of your feet and you fly on your head. You know, we're changing MMOs in completely. The typical fantasy MMO RPG, we're changing. We're putting everything is completely new. We're doing this open. We're doing a closed beta, but instead of having our own devs do this closed beta, we're gonna enlist big gaming guilds, communities, things like that. You know, to help us out. Now, let's say gaming community XYZ decides to help us out. They're testing with us. Now, they get a bad taste in their mouth because the graphics are horrible. The quests are broken. For example, Dragon's Prophet. When we decided to play that, we got into the closed beta for that and everything like that. They had quests that said, you know, they had string 0555. None of the
settings. Yeah, it was broken or wasn't working. Yeah, I remember all that. Graphics were horrible.
But let me just put in one quick comment there. I actually enjoyed it for the sole fact that that was the one game where I actually felt like I was playing a beta.
See, that's the thing, though.
Because I was seeing broken stuff. I was like, okay, this is why it's a beta.
This is you and me who have the, you know, who are in our non-teen ages and were able to grasp the concept of actually what a beta is and things like that. So we know, okay, a beta is not going to be great. It's going to be, but 90% of the other gamers, and they're in their teens, they're not looking for a beta thing. They're looking for, when they go into a beta, they're looking basically for early access. That's my feel. Everybody's looking for early access. Can
Agreed.
I get into? So this is basically what he's saying is that you have to stop this view of early access and get into, okay, this is a beta. Guys, this is what a beta is. Do you understand this? Everything's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough. At the same time, you're supposed to be lending a hand on trouble. basically betas for troubleshooting and letting developers know where problems are so that they can get them addressed. However, there's a downside to that. Not everything that you report will be looked at or taken care of. And that in itself has been proven time and time and time again.
Yeah, I forgot. I think Rift, actually Rift was one of them. One of our community members had an issue with something or other, and he put in a bug ticket, and basically the dev team said, sorry, we can't help you out with anything, we're too busy, here's in-game credit, which I think it had to do with in-game purchase anyways, so they just wound up giving him a little bit more than whatever it was. So,
yeah, that's when it went to free-to-play. That's when it moved from subscription to free-to-play.
What had happened specifically, I believe, was the game went free-to-play, but he bought in-game Rift currency, went to buy an item that never showed up. I guess, you know, as you said, the dev team was probably too busy working on other stuff, so they just kind of pacified him by returning the money that he spent on in-game credit. Returning the credit that he spent. But actually they gave him like twice as much back. So I guess it was a win-win situation, you know?
In that particular case, it was a win-win situation. But that's not what I'm talking about. When we go into betas, all right, developers want us to expect that beta games are in development. Graphics are going to be rough, granted. Stuff's going to be broken, granted. And the developers wanting our feedback, wanting to know about these problems, wanting to know feedback on how the game is. Well, if you find a problem in the game and you bring it to the developer's attention, there's no guarantee that it's going to be looked at either, especially if it's a little bug.
Yeah. Now, just to pull up another MMO that I baited, any of you actually baited the SWTOR, the Old Republic, at all? Were you any of you in the beta itself?
No.
No.
All right. I know me and Bordor were in it, and I think more games should, more MMOs that are coming out in beta should take a look at what they did. When you actually baited it, when you did certain quest lines, when you did a certain thing inside the game, a nice little pop-up came up with a survey. Did you enjoy this? What was this? Was it too hard? Was it too easy? Did this happen? Did that happen? What did you like about it? What didn't you like? In the game itself. So you're getting direct feedback at the time that it happened. And I believe that instead of hitting escape and typing this all out and going into a bug forum or something or anything like that, this you're getting direct feedback, and a lot more people will take place in a survey that's presented that way than actually going around and doing the unfortunate or not, well, the long
well,
way.
Yeah, which means backing out of the game, going to the website, going into specific forums, putting in this, putting in that. No, a lot of people won't take that time.
Quote some relatively new meme. Ain't nobody got time for that.
What they did is they put out the little survey right there and then to get the info right there and then. And yeah. made it a lot easier.
So I definitely think that a lot of companies should take a look at the way that is and definitely hop on that one.
Now we can only suggest it. Whether they actually go and do it is a whole nother story. Maybe should send Sean out with his stick and let him poke him in the side.
Go poke make sure you go poke Beth and Sony online, so they can make ESO and Elder Scrolls. ESO
Beth hasn't done anything to piss me off, so they're safe from the wrath of the stick.
Anybody else have anything else for implement on that nice little secret segment there?
No, I'm good on it. Just wish that when people do take the time to put in legitimate bugs, that devs actually take the time to look at the situation and try to fix it. Don't let it go from the same bug go from alpha to beta right into normal game.
And the same
if they're
with the
brought up and the community puts it out to them, hey, they should be willing to take the time to go in and take a look at the bugs instead of just what seems to be a general thing is the we just get blown off and it doesn't feel like they're doing anything.
And another thing is you mentioned that, you know, you and I would actually understand the term of beta testing. So for lack of a better word, I would say that I consider myself a beta tester in this situation. So when a bug does present itself, I try to explain myself in the bug report in a well understandable way. You know, I don't just say like, hey, my loot's gone, what happened, as all these other teenagers who are expecting early access are most likely doing. As they're complaining in global chat, they're probably doing the same thing on these bug reports, which is generating an excessive number of bug tickets, where stuff like us, where we're actually trying to explain a problem, might be overlooked because they're being flooded with spammy stuff.
Yeah. Good point. Very good point.
And I know one of the biggest things when you're beta testing, even though you find a bug, they kind of want you to try. You should, as a tester itself, try and recreate it. This is just a little tip. You should try at least once to recreate it. See if you can get the... Because if it's a persistent bug or if it's just... report it anyways if it just happens once. Mm-hmm. But definitely, if you could narrow it down to what it is, it helps them out quite a bit. But
you're,
I guess,
absolutely
that's,
right about that.
And I guess we'll close that segment off. And with that, we're actually pretty much done. Any last words or anything like that, guys?
None at this time yet. Oh, wait a minute. Nah.
Narm, you got anything?
Oh, look, a creeper. I'm going to go poke it with a stick.
Oh, God.
I knew that was coming.
Okay, guys. Ladies, gentlemen, everything like that. A few little plugs. Again, my Steam is FTG, RandomJack, R4N, DOM, J4CK. I know Bordor wants me to toss out his. It's FTG, BORRADOR. He is here in his Deathly Hollow spirit. I can actually feel him staring me in the back. Shout out to him, to wherever he is, because I mentioned I would do that. Let's see. Brought to you by Build the Beast Workshop. All computers made custom for you for what you're doing. And yeah. Like, subscribe, comment like normal. If you want to join us, website is ftd.guildlaunch.com. Find us on iTunes. We were actually accepted to iTunes. I'm very happy about that one. So we are officially on iTunes. So subscribe and comment and leave us nice little reviews and everything like that on iTunes. We are also on Podomatic. So it is Fun Times Gaming. That's Times with TIMEZ. funtimesgaming.podomatic.com, and you can leave us a nice little comments and stuff there. We do have a donation link there if you want us to continue and you like what we're doing and maybe improve our website. Please donate and stuff. Still looking for somebody who can maybe help us out with that a bit. Did I miss anything?
That pretty much covers it.
Until the next time, happy hunting and stay safe.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Later, players.